Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's Veterans Day, a day where we honor the service of the country's more than 18 million living veterans. There'll be parades and speeches and lots of applause. But our next guest says that one of the key players in veterans services, the Veterans Health Administration, is slowly being gutted. Suzanne Gordon is an award-winning author and journalist who writes about healthcare. She spent the last few years focusing on the VA system, and her latest book is called The Battle for Veterans Healthcare. Gordon says the dominant narrative about VA healthcare, both in Congress and in much of the media, is that it's irredeemably broken and it offers substandard care. But she says, no, on the contrary, the VA offers veterans some of the best coordinated and often cutting-edge healthcare in the country. We reached Gordon via Skype at her home in the Bay Area to ask her why the negative narrative about the VA persists.
Because there are very strong forces, notably the conservative billionaire Koch brothers, Concerned Veterans for America, the Trump administration, the Mar-a-Lago group, the hospital industry, that are really kind of circling like vultures because there is a $90 billion pot of gold in the Veterans Health Administration budget that they would like to capture. So they are really working very hard to discredit both government and the Veterans Health Administration, which it's not just my research, it's research that's been published in the New England Journal of Medicine by the RAND Corporation, by the American Medical Association, et cetera, where we have countless studies that show that the VA, the Veterans Health Administration, delivers often equal or superior care to the private sector. Even the famous wait time delays that are supposed to be happening in the VHA, the Veterans Health Administration, are way worse in the private sector, and they've been pretty much remedied in the VA. So it's really interesting to me, Bonnie, that people, particularly people who are liberals or to the left of center, don't believe what they read in the papers about single-payer healthcare or the ACA or Social Security or whatever, but they believe what they read in the papers about the VA. And basically, even the liberal media has adopted this narrative, and it's very disturbing because nothing could be further than the truth.
Yeah, there's this constant drumbeat to privatize healthcare for veterans. And like you say, there's a lot of money at stake there. And certainly the Mission Act, which was passed into law earlier this year, I think is a result of that pressure. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. I mean, the Mission Act is a bill that was supported, sadly, by way too many Democrats. And it is a bill that outsources care of veterans to the private sector. And I and many other people, I work with a group called the Veterans Healthcare Policy Institute. We warned very, very strongly that the private sector can't handle veteran patients. Not only it doesn't know about their complex, very specific medical and mental health needs, but there's just not the capacity. I mean, I don't know about Wisconsin and Milwaukee, but in the Bay Area, it's really difficult to find a primary care doctor. 55% of American counties, all of them rural, have no social worker, psychiatrist, or psychologist. So where are people going to get helped? And you're putting veterans in competition with non-veteran patients, and that's really not a very good idea. It's certainly not a good idea for veterans because private sector providers don't understand the difference between, say, normal type 2 diabetes and Agent Orange-related diabetes or asthma and burn pit exposure, respiratory problems that service members have from having been in the recent combats in the Middle East. So this is a really bad idea, and we just have a new report out. The New York Times reported yesterday that the Mission Act, the third-party insurance company administrators that were hired for a lot of money to set up these networks that veterans could go to, that there just aren't people signing up for these networks because there's not enough providers, they're not willing to accept the pay, and also, quite frankly, a lot of them just don't want to deal with the complexity of veteran patients.
One of the things, you know, I went to the VA website to look at what it says about the Mission Act, and the quote on the first page says, "The Mission Act will strengthen the nationwide VA healthcare system by empowering veterans with more healthcare options." And, you know, I know the VA has traditionally sent veterans to community partners that offered services the VA didn't, like mammograms, before women veterans were fully integrated into the system. So were veterans really lacking in options, or is that just sort of doublespeak?
No, that's part of the Orwellian doublespeak of choice. And the quote that you gave, Bonnie, is a perfect example. You don't strengthen a system by sending people out of the system. You strengthen the system by strengthening the system, by putting resources into the system. Now they're taking resources out of the system to pay private sector providers. In one VA where I talked to the medical director, I was told that in 2018 they spent $20 million or something like that on private sector care, whereas in the last 3 months of 2019, they spent $53 million. That's a sevenfold increase in resources going out of the VA. And that's just not possible. I mean, you can't sustain a system with that kind of shift of patients or resources. It's also important in a healthcare system, the way you maintain skill and expertise is by seeing more patients, not less. So if one of the things they're trying to do with the Mission Act is send more and more surgical care, more and more procedures like colonoscopies and so forth out into the private sector, because the private sector isn't interested in the long-term maintenance of chronically mentally ill or physically ill veterans. I mean, they're not interested in the long-term maintenance of chronically mentally ill or physically ill non-veteran patients. They want the high-cost episodic procedures. But the problem is that those procedures, I mean, your colonoscopy or your gallbladder operation exists in a whole body that's connected to all kinds of problems. Let me give you an example. In the Milwaukee VA, a PTSD psychologist was telling me about an instance where an Iraq vet needed gallbladder surgery and they were sent to the VA to get the surgery. And the guy really lost it on the ward, on the unit. The surgeon called the psychologist, who was working in the same system, in the same facility. They share the same chart. And he said, "What should I do?" And she told him how to deal with the patient effectively. And then she walked over and saw the patient. That would never happen in the private sector. So you can't divide up the operation from the mental health problems the patient is having from the other physical health problems that the patient is having. It doesn't work that way in healthcare.
You talked about cost. Again, the VA is portrayed as wasteful of taxpayer monies, and it doesn't seem that they are as they are portrayed to be. Is that also fair?
Oh, it's ridiculous, the idea that the VA is wasteful. I mean, we have a private sector system where we spend over $2 trillion on healthcare in this country, and almost half of it goes down the toilet in marketing and administration and CEO salaries. I mean, the VA is incredibly cost effective. It takes care of sicker, older, poorer patients who have many more healthcare problems way less expensively than the private sector. I mean, if you want to see your costs not just triple or quadruple, but absolutely astronomically increase, then send veterans into the private sector. And what's going to happen, sadly, is that the taxpayer is not going to be willing to shoulder this astronomical burden of costs. And so we're going to see services cut, or we're going to see eligibility rules becoming more stricter, and fewer veterans are going to be eligible, because you either have a very well-run, high-quality, cost-effective system like the VHA is, or you send people into the private sector, which is the American private sector healthcare system, which is market-driven and profit-driven, is the most ineffective in terms of cost and quality in the industrialized world.
Going back to the first question that I had for you, why does this story persist? And it seems like that there's a whole bunch of people who are kind of in it together to make sure this fails.
They really want to kill the Veterans Health Administration. They want to starve it of resources. They're not filling the 45,000 or more vacancies that exist. The secretary of the VA says he isn't interested in filling those vacancies, even though he is statutorily obligated to staff the agency. You have a president who is committed to the extent he understands anything to privatization. You have advisors like the Koch brothers, Darren Selnick of the Concerned Veterans for America. And let me say something else that's really important here, Bonnie. One of the things that is fueling this whole debate is the VHA is an excellent example of, it's not quite a single payer system, but it's a publicly funded national health system that works. And the reason why many of these right-wing ideologues are attacking the VHA is because they do not want to see Medicare for all or any kind of health care for all in this country. And they are working assiduously to tarnish the reputation of the only really sort of socialist healthcare system that we have in this country, one that works. And they are determined to make sure that it doesn't work, or at least that the public thinks it doesn't work when in fact it works extremely well. And really, in my view, it shouldn't be Medicare for all. It should be VA for all, because Medicare is a payer, not a system, and the VA is a system. And that's why they deliver better mental health care and better coordinated care and better primary care and better end-of-life care and better geriatric care and better nursing home care. And it's all in the studies.
So what about veterans themselves? I'm sure you've talked to many. How do they feel about the system that is there to serve them?
Well, the people who are in the VHA and who get help from the VA, they very much support it. And most veterans want the VA to be there as an option. And sadly, many don't understand that this quote-unquote choice legislation or the Mission Act doesn't really give them a choice, because its intent is to eliminate the VHA as one of the choices. And so really, veterans have always had the choice to go into the private sector if the VA doesn't provide the service, as you mentioned before. And there are all kinds of veterans groups that are extremely concerned about this, the Disabled American Veterans. I believe that many of the veterans service organizations, like the American Legion and so forth, have made very poor choices themselves when they supported the Mission Act. And I think they did this because they felt that they had to be at the table. They had to be reasonable players. Many Democrats are being hoodwinked into supporting some of these initiatives because they're afraid to appear anti-veteran. The Trump administration is pushing something now called the Improve Well-Being Act that is going to try to outsource mental health care in the name of suicide prevention, if you really want to prevent veteran suicide, you should actually let all veterans into the VA, and you should do more marketing of the VA and marketing of the services it provides. I mean, you see in Milwaukee advertisements for local hospital systems. You never see any for the incredible services that the Milwaukee VA provides, because the VA isn't allowed to spend money on that, and it should be.
So what are some steps that people can do to help ensure that the VA remains in place? Is there something average citizens can do?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that people can absolutely call their congresspeople and say that they want the VA to be fully funded and fully staffed. I think that people have to understand that when Secretary Wilkie, the Secretary of the VA, says that they oppose privatization, they're really saying the opposite. Privatization isn't just closing all the facilities and laying everybody off tomorrow. It's starving the system of resources and outsourcing care to the private sector. I think that people can understand that Medicare for All would be good for veterans and their families and communities because it would actually take privatization of the VA off the table, because you couldn't be depleting the resources of the VA to pay for private sector care if everyone was insured. I think people need to really petition Congress to give the VA more resources to market and its services, and give out and do more outreach to veterans to explain the services that are available. And I think we also, in the richest country in the world, can do away with the kind of eligibility requirements that mean that half of the veteran population is not able to get care at the VA because they're essentially not eligible. And we can afford for not that much more in cost to give every veteran services at a Veterans Health Administration facility.
You're not a veteran yourself, so why is protecting and advancing the VA so important to you?
Well, I've been studying private sector care for 35 or more years, plus I'm 74, and I'm a patient. I have a great health insurance, quote unquote, and I will never get the kind of care the VA delivers at its best, and almost routinely, to veterans, never, because they don't do coordinated, integrated care in the private sector. I have to be my own care integrator. I just had cataract surgery. My primary care doctor doesn't even know because I haven't gotten around to telling him yet. They don't talk to each other. And so I really see the VA as a model for the kind of care we all could get. When I was writing my book, Wounds of War, I followed palliative care and end-of-life care, the end-of-life care team in one VA facility in San Francisco, and I was just stunned by the extraordinary way that they helped veterans and families navigate the last days of life in ways that our healthcare system seems to be incapable of doing. So I'm in this for veterans because I think we owe veterans the best healthcare system that we can give them. And we have that system. Of course, it can be improved, but it's pretty darned good. And I think we also owe it to the rest of Americans to learn from the Veterans Health Administration, not dismantle it.
Well, Suzanne Gordon, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Suzanne Gordon is an award-winning author and journalist who writes about healthcare. For the past 3 years, she's focused on veterans' healthcare, and her most recent book is called The Battle for Veterans' Healthcare, Dispatches from the Front Lines of Policymaking and Patient Care. We spoke with her via Skype. Gordon is in Milwaukee today to speak at the Veterans for Peace event, Reclaiming Armistice Day. It's taking place at the Central United Methodist Church in Milwaukee. It starts at 7. There is a link to more information at wuwm.com.